Hello and welcome to the Vote Plan Podcast. This is your host, Marquise Olison. Remember to like and subscribe to get all the amazing Vote Plan content. We are here on a mission to make sure that every single American casts a ballot on or before Election Day by making sure that everybody has a plan to vote. Today, joining me on the pod is the chair of the Polk County Democratic Party in Polk County, Iowa, Mr. Sean Bagnieski. I just screwed it up, didn't I?
That worked. Bagnieski, it works.
Sean Bagnieski, how are you doing today? What's beautiful in your world?
Living the dream. I mean, the beautiful thing right now for us is we have never seen so many Democrats looking to vote this year. We just found out that 24% of all the Democrats in our county have already requested an absentee ballot. So that is really good news when it's still August. We've never seen numbers like that before.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
Iowa has such a culture of participating in elections because, heck, literally every 4 years, every single eye in the country is like focused on Iowa for like 6 months.
For good and bad, yeah.
You guys have done some phenomenal work in terms of building a blue wave in Iowa. How did you guys build that?
You know, really like a lot of other county parties, local parties, even state parties, after 2016, you know, it was like a forest fire in the Democratic Party. You know, we were devastated by the election of Donald Trump. But more importantly, like after a forest fire, we had a lot of green shoots and we had hundreds of volunteers and activists coming up because of Donald Trump, who wanted to get active that had never been active before. So our monthly meetings went from 35 people to 200 people now are joining us as of last month. So the growth was exponential. The key for us was finding ways to really harness that and turn it into voting power. And in 2018, 2019, and now hopefully 2020, I think we're doing that.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You guys just had one of those freak, like inland hurricane. What was that first and how did it affect you?
So it didn't affect Polk County. I'm in central Iowa, which is like Des Moines and the surrounding suburbs, the state capital. So it affected us. We had power outages for about 4 days here, but really eastern Iowa got the worst. Cedar Rapids and some of those areas here. And there are still some places that 2 weeks later don't have power. Buildings were torn down. Roofs were, you know, thrown off. People are still without houses. So it's really... It's a terrible situation, and we've been lending as much of a hand as we can.
Wow. And have you guys gotten any significant federal help to be able to take care of any of that?
Yeah, our governor is very close with the Trump administration, and it took her a week to request a federal disaster recovery declaration. And Trump came here, told us that he had signed it, but then we found out that he didn't sign the portion that provided any relief effort to individual homeowners. So, you know, businesses and local governments got something, but the individual homeowners didn't get a darn thing.
So Iowa got a really nice photo op though.
Yep. Very for him. Yeah, absolutely.
Now you guys weren't affected by that, but have your organizing efforts been affected by COVID-19?
Yeah, everything has changed for us. So, you know, all of our monthly meetings, all of our weekly meetings have obviously all had to go into the digital space. And, you know, we've had to find really creative ways to supplement the parades, the festivals, the celebrations that usually we're at. So we've got 15 curbside voting stations where it's a tent, it's a sign that says what it is. We've got voter registration forms, absentee ballot requests. We're all masked, we're gloved, we'll bring it to your car, and we'll take it back and deliver it for you to the county auditor's office. We've done more than 100 of those so far this summer, and they've been really successful. The other big push for us is absentee ballot requests. We have printed 13,000 absentee ballot requests. All those are gone. We've mailed another 2,000, and we've got another 8,000 here in my dining room, actually. So
wow.
It's really, you know, during COVID, you don't really have a headquarters anymore like we usually have. Everybody's doing it from their houses. So it's been an interesting prospect.
It's like everybody has become a WeWork employee.
Exactly. And the amount of shipments going out on my front porch is just, the neighbors probably are wondering what the heck's going on. So it's been interesting.
They're like, either this guy is the chair of the Polk County Democrats or we're living next to Walter White.
One exactly. Of the two. Great drug operation going over there.
Now, In terms of the things that you guys are doing, what are some of the steps you're taking in order to help people with their vote by mail ballots and actually make sure that they get turned in?
That's the biggest concern we're getting. Ever since Donald Trump started messing around with the Postal Service, we're getting 50 to almost 200 questions, complaints, concerns every day. And when you talk to average voters, the fear that they have is palpable in that their vote won't be counted. So for us, we are going to have what we call ballot drive-throughs, where we get big parking lots and you drive through and we will have people there masked, gloved, we'll have lock boxes, we'll collect your ballot. And as soon as the ballot drive-through is over, we will take it to the county auditor's office. That's not legal in all states, but Iowa is a state where we allow folks to pick up people's ballots and deposit it, but you have to give them a receipt that you did it, have your information, and give them a process for how to look it up. The other thing that we'll be focusing on is we are going to have a ballot hotline. So on demand, you can call or text our county party, and within an hour or so, somebody will come pick up your ballot for you and then take it to the county auditor's office. Now, if you don't want us to do it for you, we'll even come and pick you up in a socially distanced, safe way. We have a team of nurses to do it on election day, and we will take you to the county auditor's office so you can deposit it as well.
Wow, you guys are really working it out. It's amazing that this has been built in such a short period of time. How did you manage to get everybody pulled together to just start doing this?
Well, you know, we've been building the volunteer army really since those first meetings after Donald Trump, and finding ways for people to get constructively involved in the 2018 election, in the 2019 city council and school board elections, and then keeping them engaged this year has been crucial. So, I mean, really, we haven't stopped anything since that first meeting after Donald Trump was elected.
Oh, yeah. I was in Southern California for a lot of that, and we had initially, because there was the initial shock and awe. And then some of us got into action. Some of us got frozen because this is what we're seeing right now is the playing upon fear. And when you make people afraid, they either have one of two reactions. Either they get into action, they fight, or they flight, or they freeze, or one of three reactions, they fight, flight, or freeze. And with so many divergent instructions, it's forcing people who would normally flee or even fight to just freeze because they don't know what to do.
Exactly.
So folks, that's why you're getting like 200 questions, because today you hear vote by mail is good. Tomorrow you hear take all the ballots away. Today you're going to hear that the it's like just a purposeful driving of confusion. Yep. And it's insane that this is 4 years in, this is where we are in our democracy.
And I think it's going to backfire on them completely. Most of my family, or at least my grandmothers and everybody else, lived up in Wisconsin. And this summer, the Wisconsin Republican Party forced a vote on Supreme Court justices and some other things on the ballot as well, thinking that turnout would be lower, thinking that folks in Madison and Milwaukee and other metro areas in Wisconsin wouldn't vote because of the coronavirus. And what you saw were lines of people in masks waiting for hours to make sure that their vote counted. And the fear I was hearing from my family there is the same fear I'm hearing now about the Postal Service. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to make people even more committed. I mean, somebody told me that they would take off all their clothes and crawl over broken glass to make sure that their ballot got to the county auditor's office this year. And I really think that's how people feel this time. So it's going to drive our turnout, drive our passion, but I also think it's going to tick off a lot of independents who cannot stand that we're messing around with voting the way that he is.
Yeah, it's the norms of our democracy are being shambled, are being shattered, and it only takes I think it was Edmund Burke who says, "All it takes is for a few good men to do nothing for evil to triumph." Or something like that. He has a better way of putting
spot it. On, yeah.
Now, you guys have a steak fry coming up. Now, how does that work on virtual? Do you guys do it virtually? And like, is this, you guys have special Iowa Star Trek technology where you send everybody a steak and then everybody sits in front of their Zoom screen?
It's going to be something. It's just, honestly, it's using what we're doing with the ballots and absentee ballot requests to actually do food service. So the Steak Fry was started by Tom Harkin in the 1980s, and throughout the 80s and 90s became really a stopping place for all the presidential candidates, similar to Jim Clyburn's Fish Fry, some other kind of national events. After he left office, it went dormant, but all of us new kids that got elected in 2017 to leadership positions, you know, begged him for about a year to see if we could bring it back. And he finally allowed us to, and it's been a big success. The biggest one was last year with 12,000 people. We had all 19 presidential candidates, and did really well. And we were worried about, you know, putting it in mothballs this year with COVID, because people really are desperate to at least, you know, celebrate the Democratic Party. So this year it will be a drive-in Steak Fry for the first time ever. There will be a giant screen in the middle of the big field that we usually park cars in. People will stay in their cars. The proceedings will be broadcast from the stage to people's car radios. And we will be grilling the steaks and have a team to deliver the steaks in a box meal to all of the attendees.
Okay, so I'm just going to say, please take photos.
We will.
Write up that plan. Because that's a model for other states that probably haven't had that as a blueprint to do. This is one of those, the DNC didn't have the normal giant convention where everybody convenes and then starts swapping ideas in the rooms.
Yep.
And I would hope that part of what I'd like to do is to be a clearinghouse of ideas, because that's amazing.
Hopefully. We'll see if it works. I'm sure it will. But yeah, we're about 2.5 weeks out. So I will keep you posted. We're really excited about it.
Oh, wow. That's going to be awesome. Is there going to be like a large screen, and then they're going to be watching Congresswoman Pelosi, Leader Pelosi from this. Oh, wow. It's going to be like a giant drive-in.
Yeah. Speaker Pelosi, Mayor Buttigieg. And then we're working with the Biden-Harris camp on who we can get there. We really would love to welcome Senator Harris. And then her husband, Doug Emhoff, is a good friend of Iowa. So we'd love to have both of them as well.
Oh my God. This sounds amazing. It's like the beautiful thing of when something bad happens, is it really forces people to break the mold of what they've been doing and what they've been used to. And I'm sure what this does is it allows for folks that have been kind of introverted to get involved in the process a bit more, because they can isolate themselves while being in crowds, and be heard more. Have you seen some of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and not just to be attendees, but to be volunteers. I mean, that's been the key for us, is ever since we brought back the Steak Fry, or when we had the presidential candidates coming through Iowa, we would bring people in as just volunteers for food service, or, you know, to do some deliveries on absentee ballot requests or stuff like that. You know, not everybody is as gregarious as we are, but bringing them in on those smaller tasks allows them to become super volunteers by the end of it. So we might bring them in to help serve a couple meals at the Steak Fry. And then the next week we might ask them to write some postcards. The next week after that, we might ask them to do some calls. And sure enough, all of a sudden they're knocking doors. Now, we're not knocking doors this year, but we're doing a lot of phone calls. And that's really the way that we've been able to do it. So right now in Polk County, which, you know, is a relatively, it's an important county in Iowa, but not big by national standards. We've got about 500 active volunteers that we can call up and ask them to do something. And we can do it all within a weekend. So it's been amazing to watch it come together.
That's amazing. And I want to, for the kids at home, what Sean just described is what we call a ladder of engagement, where you bring someone in the door with one small task, and then you give them another small task, and then you give them another small task. And so as their confidence grows from doing these small tasks, their competence grows, and then they become more invested in actually growing it. So it's there's an old story of Buddha walking with a gentleman as they go down the road, and they kept encountering people along the way. They encountered an old man, and then so the guy that was carrying these bags said, "How much longer do we have to go?" And the guy from the village looked at the Buddha and said, "It's only about 2 more miles." And then they kind of laughed, and then they said, "All right, keep going." And then they get 2 more miles down the road, and they find a lady that's doing something, and they say, "How many more miles to go? It's been 2 miles." And the lady says, well, it's not any more than 2 miles. And then the lady and the Buddha laugh, and then they keep going, and then they run into a third person about 2 miles down, and they say, that's about 2 miles away. And so the guy, like, after this, he drops his bags, and he's like, come on, what's up? And the Buddha says, look, if I had told you it was 15 miles at the beginning of this thing, you'd have stopped. But by giving you a little bit of encouragement, and they knew, I've been to this village, I knew exactly how long it is. But by giving you a little bit, you were able to get further than you would have gone without any encouragement. So sometimes people need that little drop, that little bit of encouragement to keep them going.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So now one of the things that we do is a vote plan. Now, I would love to take you through a vote plan. And hey, if you guys want to use this, yes, I'll send you a copy of it. And you guys could print it up, send it to your folks, because it is it helps make people visualize that idea of how to actually vote. Election Day is November 3rd, 2020. What's your name?
Sean Begneski.
Are you voting by mail, Sean, or voting in person?
Voting by mail for the first time in my life.
Awesome. Are you already registered to vote?
I am.
Now, without saying the T word, what's the most important reason you're voting this year?
Oh, my kid. I've got a 4-year-old, and I want my country to be better than the one I had.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, have you filled out your vote by mail request form?
Yes, I have.
Do you have a 55-cent postage stamp?
Yes, but I don't need it.
Awesome. And what is the date you're mailing your ballot?
Oh, actually, I do need it. You're right. Absentee ballot requests do require a stamp. You're right.
Oh!
This is good. This is awesome.
Yeah. See, this is why we need that. All right. What is the date you're mailing your ballot?
I've already mailed it in.
For November?
Oh, no, not for the ballot will be mailed on October 5th, and I will mail it as soon as I get it.
Awesome. And where is the mailbox or post office where you're dropping your ballot?
It's up the street. That's a good question. It's on Forest Avenue, and I'm on Forest as well, but you're right.
And will you post a selfie at the mailbox and tag Vote Plan 2020?
Absolutely.
All right, awesome. Well, now you've done a vote plan.
I love it.
And tell us if, like, this is the way that, like, what I visualize is a world where, you know, one way or the other, we're going to have a settled democracy on 1/20/21. And hopefully, if things go the way that we both hope they do, and I'm going to knock on some wood, the mic is not going to like that I just did that. The thing that we will have to all learn how to do is to have conversations that don't involve the guy that's in the White House right now, because he is the center of everybody's attention. So what is the vision that you would want to see for that day and then for going forward for our country?
That's a great question. I mean, one thing that we've learned this summer is Donald Trump isn't the cause of the disastrous politics we have. He's a symptom of disastrous politics. And we have, you know, decades, centuries of American history and American political history to start untangling on issues of gender, on issues of race, most importantly, on issues of class and everything else. And I think in a lot of ways, he's exposed the democracy that we want to build. You know, we can't pretend that this isn't who our country can produce anymore because it did. So as soon as he is no longer in the White House, we need to start looking for a way to make sure that somebody like him can never happen again. And part of it is constitutional safeguards and, you know, laws and things that Speaker Pelosi and other folks will do. But most importantly, it's getting a new generation of folks involved in the political process. And, mm-hmm. you know, we focus a lot on the caucuses and the 2018 midterms and the presidential election. But, you know, my passion really is what we call the off years. And in 2019, for the first time, the Polk County Democrats focused on local races, city council and school mm-hmm. board races that were seen as nonpartisan, that the county party never got involved in. And for the first time, we got involved. and we flipped 13 seats. Nine of those folks were women. Five of those people were people of color. They were the first people of color ever elected in the cities that they were elected in. Mm-hmm. That was much more gratifying in a lot of ways than even the midterms were when we flipped a seat in Congress. Those people now are making votes on the pandemic and when people are going back to school and on food banks and on local assistance to people. And we got some heck for getting involved in local races, but now those people are more important than ever. So as soon as Donald Trump is booted out of office on November 3rd, November 4th, our race to the 2021 city council and school board races will start all over again. And that's going to be what we're driving for the next year.
Wow, that's powerful. Thank you. To hear the impact that you guys are having at a local level, and as we now see where the federal government is actually literally imploring the local governments to do more because the federal government wants to do less, it is imperative that you select those local officials, because we don't have, like in this case with COVID, like you said, we don't have a national plan that lays out when people should go back to school, except for I want everybody to go back to school, or how to make these things safe. They're saying, well, we want to leave it up to the local officials.
And it's even worse in Iowa, in that we have a Republican governor who's very close with the Trump administration, and she has demanded that all students go back to classes this fall. They have denied any waivers for virtual learning or for hybrid learning, and they're mandating children to go back this month and next month. And the folks that we helped elect on those school boards now are defying the governor and saying that regardless of her orders, they're not going to send kids back.
Wow.
So that's democracy for you.
It's like, how do you, I go back to this fall, last spring, where we now know that it was wrong to open everything back up. Like, literally, it was absolutely wrong to take the word of the folks that were saying, no, we need to open up as fast as possible. We need to open this up.
Yep.
And we need to do it by, what was it? Not Labor Day, by Memorial Day.
Yeah, it was Easter and then Memorial Day. And yeah, it was always moving with them. But yeah.
And then now we're supposed to take those same people's word again and say, oh, yeah, but I think they're going to be right this time because #, they weren't before.
Yep. And with our kids, too, who then transmit to elderly folks and people in the community and then might have lasting health risks for the rest of their lives. It's tragic.
Yeah, I go back to there was this President Obama had a beautiful speech on January 10th before he left office. January 10th, 2017, in Chicago at McCormick Place, where one of the passages that he laid out was what the potential to happen where you have a separation of rich and poor, and the rich go and withdraw into their enclaves, leaving the rest of civilization to kind of tear itself apart. And we're starting to see some of that actually manifest itself. And it's tragic. It's sad that most people don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Even worse that it's actually happening.
Yep.
And it's the fact that there's an invisible killer that's making it so is all the more like poignant. Yep. Have you guys started thinking through, switching subjects really quickly? Have you guys started thinking through what you will have to do for the caucuses if this goes to 2024?
Hopefully it doesn't. If we do our jobs, we always say that we don't need to worry about it again. But, the Iowa caucuses, so we have caucuses for our gubernatorial races as well. So we'll be needing to do that for 2022. So the caucuses are still here until we hear otherwise, but we're watching intently, the planning that goes on at the state level, and then more importantly, the national level as well.
It could end up being like these giant Zoom caucuses. Everybody get into their breakout rooms. And this, it just looks like Star Trek or Star Wars, where everybody's on monitors. And that's how all of our government happens now. Sean, Are there any other last beautiful words that you would love to share with America right now?
Oh, gosh. You're supposed to tell me if you're going to put me on the spot like that. You know, the phrase that we always use is that this really is the most important election of our lives. And everything that the people who came before us tried to build, everything the people after us who tried to build, is really resting on what happens on November 3rd. And are we a flawed country that, you know, can get rid of somebody and make our country better? Or are we a country that is going to continue with the awfulness that we've seen for the next 4 years? In a lot of ways, November 3rd is going to be that decision on who we are and what we're going to choose to do going forward. And, you know, the stakes couldn't be greater. Speaker Pelosi has said, you know, we always say every year is the most important election of our lives. This really is the most important election of our lives. We're living in a period that is similar to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Civil Rights Movement. So much is coming to a head in American history, and it's up to us in November to choose who we are and how we're going to go forward.
Wow. That's, I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, how can all the people out there find you?
www.polkdems.com, Facebook, Twitter, we're on Snapchat and Instagram as well. So Polkdems is who we are on all the mediums.
Awesome. So go and find them, Polkdems, and you guys are taking donations, right?
Yes, please. Polkdems.com has a donate button. We need all the money we can get.
And volunteer, because now, well, it's now virtual volunteering. So if folks can make some text banking and some phone calls for you from outside the district.
Absolutely. Text banking, phone banking. And then if you're in the district, you know, poll watching, ballot drive-throughs, ballot pickups and drop-offs, everything. If you've got the willingness, we'll put you to work.
Do you need any steak fryers?
And actually, good question. We don't actually fry the steak. It's just the terminology we use for grilling steaks in the Midwest. But everybody says, so do you like coat the steaks and then fry them? And no, they're just on grills. So we'll send you pictures.
Yeah, because see, I'm from the Midwest. I'm in Chicago right now, and we grill our steaks when we grill them. It's like, but there's guys that do actually, they have the griddle down and they fry the steaks.
Which and is actually pretty good, but just, yeah.
And then there's chicken fried steak, which is a whole different bag. Mm-hmm. We got all different kinds of steak frying going on. And I just inadvertently broke into my Obama voice. No, let me be clear. We've got lots of steak. Like there's a lot. There's red steaks. There's blue steaks. But we want the United Steaks of America, the kind of steaks that are from Iowa. Hello, Iowa. So thank you for coming on the show, Sean. Thank you for sharing what's going on in Iowa. Thank you so much for pioneering so much of the great work with doing drive-throughs, a drive-through steak dinner to get everybody involved and engaged. Are you guys doing like an organizer training where you're going to teach people different organizing techniques while you're there?
While we're there, and then we also have a virtual training bank. So really since March when COVID started, we do weekly trainings online, free to anybody who wants to see them. And we've kept a bank of them of videos that for the training that we have as well. So we'll be having those at the Steak Fry, but they're also available on demand for anybody who wants to see them.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So yeah. Anybody anywhere can learn how to organize and teach and learn how to connect, engaged, and get out there in the organizing space. I bet some of those kids on TikTok, somebody can figure out how to do TikTok in Iowa and just get all those kids on there to go TikTok and each other. Thank you so much, Sean. Hey, I want to say everybody, thank you for listening to the Vote Plan podcast. And this will actually be shown on not only on the Vote Plan podcast, but on the Streamathon for Democracy. I'll send you the details for that. That'll be tomorrow. So you can send that out. So folks, if they want to go and see the Streamathon and see you and me right there. Thank you so much for visiting voteplan.us. See, my words are all flubbed right now. And it's gonna be
weird. That's how it always is.
Please visit voteplan.us to go and download your own vote plan. Like and subscribe this podcast so that you can keep getting this amazing content. I want to thank Sean Bagnisky and the Polk County Democratic Party for the work they're doing to help people vote. Make sure to wash your hands, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, love each other, please be kind, and until next time, make your plan to vote like your life depends on it, because it does.